Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, February 4th. Governor Jared Polis has unveiled a plan to make it easier for the marijuana industry to use banks. KUNC's Scott Franz has more in Capitol coverage.
The effort to remove banking restrictions has stalled at the federal level, where the drug is still illegal. Polis wants to increase the number of banks serving the industry by 20% in the next 5 months. He says it's dangerous for dispensaries to be cash only.
Employees in the cannabis industry have experienced assaults and batteries in an effort to steal cash from these businesses.
He says his administration is trying to remove some of the hurdles that prevent cannabis companies from using local banks. Last year, Colorado dispensaries sold more than $1.6 billion worth of marijuana. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
Researchers are directly tying an intense drought in the Four Corners to human-caused climate change. From KSJD, Daniel Reisel has more on a recently published study from UC Santa Barbara.
The researchers found the 2018 drought was fueled by a 2 degrees Celsius increase compared to pre-industrial levels. In the Four Corners, the higher temperatures meant a weaker, short-lived snowpack, and the dry air sapped moisture from the ground. Researcher Emily Williams is the study's lead author. She says the potential for evaporation increased about 80% during the drought.
In a dry area, you know, like the Four Corners, during dry conditions, if it can hold more water, that water has to come from somewhere. And in this case, it's from the soil.
The region's weakened ag economy contributed to an estimated $3 billion in economic losses. I'm Daniel Reisel in Cortez, Colorado.
And next, here on Tuesday, KVNF's Corey Stanton brings us an interview with Proximity Space Director Holly Williamson.
Proximity is based in Grand Junction in Montrose, and we have a software solution, hardware, a mobile app, and essentially what we do is make it easier for co-working spaces to manage the logistics of just their daily operations. So membership billing, digital door access, promoting an event, booking a conference room. We enable about 300 spaces to use our platform and about 60,000 members across the U.S. and a few international markets. So it's really a network of co-working spaces where members who are either entrepreneurs, run small businesses, have remote jobs, are freelancers, are based out of co-working spaces, and we help connect that large network of the mobile workforce.
Talk to me about the Opportunity Zone funding that Proximity received in August 2019.
Sure. Over the summer, Proximity was one of the first operating companies to receive funding from a qualified Opportunity Zone fund, it's called. Essentially, Opportunity Zones are low-income areas where federal legislation has allowed for tax incentives to really promote and drive investment in lower-income areas that often have really barriers to getting capital in the door, right? And so for us, being based in Junction and Montrose, both of which are Opportunity Zones, it's not Denver, it's not Boulder, it's not a location where funding is as advertised and available. So Opportunity Zones really help support that. So yes, we received some funding over the summer, and then our newest funding from CORI, the Center on Rural Innovation, it's the CORI Innovation Fund. And so our newest investment is really based on a lot of mission alignment in terms of CORI really wanting to promote more opportunities in rural areas for entrepreneurial growth and, again, take down those barriers to funding and help companies in rural areas really start to grow.
How is the most recent CORI funding going to help take Proximity Space into 2020?
Really, our goal is to expand our network. I mentioned we are approaching about 300 co-working spaces on the network, tens of thousands of members, and the better we can support the network, the more we are able to connect those members and those spaces to each other and also start to roll out other offerings to our spaces and other offerings to the members on the network.
If anyone in our listening area or beyond is interested in checking out Proximity Space, what's the first step for them?
Head to proximity.space, check out the network map, and you can buy a day pass and go get set up with one of our spaces.
Awesome. Holly, thank you so much.
Thank you, Corey.
For KVNF News, I'm Corey Stanton.
Many communities on the Western Slope are grappling with an extreme shortage of affordable housing. Nowhere is this more obvious than in Carbondale, where the average price for a single-family home has risen to $1 million. That's an increase of 15% in 1 year. For the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange, KDNK's Lucas Turner has more on how Carbondale trustees are responding to the shortage of affordable options.
According to the Colorado Association of Realtors annual report, 168 single-family homes were sold last year in Carbondale at a median price of just over $827,000 and an average price around $1 million. 80 townhomes and condos were sold at a median price just under $500,000 and an average price of $580,000. The U.S. Census Bureau lists Carbondale's median household income at $78,000 a year. Households at that income level could qualify from anywhere from a $300,000 to $500,000 home loan, depending on credit and down payment amount. That means more than 50% of households cannot qualify for a loan large enough to cover the town of Carbondale's median housing costs.
It's just something that with a town with our budget and realities, it's a really tough nut to crack.
That's Carbondale trustee Ben Baumfalk speaking to Bob Schultz Wednesday during Merle and the Chameleon on KDNK.
Mm-hmm. So we don't have a dedicated stream of revenue or a bunch of land to build affordable housing. Even if we did, that would make a dent and that would help and we would do that, but that still wouldn't affect those numbers.
Baumfalk says the town of Carbondale staff and trustees' strategy has been to have a clear and predictable process for getting new housing projects approved, noting that the current rules are a result of 8 years of collaboration between the board, staff, and citizen volunteers. He says more housing is needed to address the growing population and explains how guidelines ensure new developments include affordable options.
If there's over 20% of them have to be deed restricted, affordable by the county guidelines. So if we add 100 free market units, we get 20 of those will be deed restricted. And the other 80, hopefully, will be a range of housing types and not just in that $1 million and up category. So I think we're kind of done with the era of, you know, golf course oriented, kind of sprawl oriented development in Carbondale. And we're really in an era already of infill and mixed use and walkable and density, and hopefully that helps make things more affordable. But there's some fundamentals there that are really beyond anybody's control.
The rules governing deed restriction requirements in Carbondale are listed in the town's community housing guidelines, which you can find at carbondalegov.org under the affordable housing section. KDNK News, I'm Lucas Turner.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, February 4th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.